Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, Deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna Trees, Text Number 14. Yata Kantaka Vidango Jantor Nechati Tam Vidvyatam Jiva Samyam Gato Lingar Na tata vida kantaka. Yata. Just as. Kantaka. Vida anga. A person whose body has been pinpricked. Done. Pinpricked. Picked by a pin, stabbed by a pin. Yeah. Janto of such an animal. Na ichati desires. Tam a particular. Ya tam pain. Jiva samyam. Kataha, when he understands that the position is the same for everyone. Lingai, by possessing a particular type of body. Na, not. Tata, so. Avida, kantaka, person who has not been pinpricked. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By seeing their faces, one whose body has been pricked by pins can understand the pain of others who are pinpricked. Realizing that this pain is the same for everyone, he does not want others to suffer in this way. But one who has never been pricked by pins cannot understand this pain. Purport, there is a saying, the happiness of wealth is enjoyed by a person who has tasted the distress of poverty. There is also another common saying, Vandya ki bhujabe prasava vedana. A woman who has not given birth to a child cannot understand the pain of childbirth. Unless one comes to the platform of actual experience, one cannot realize what is pain and what is happiness in this material world. The laws of nature act accordingly. If one has killed an animal, one must be killed by the same animal. This is called mangsa. Mam means me, and so, and sa means he. As I'm eating an animal, the animal will have an opportunity to eat me. In every state, therefore, is an opportunity. That is ordinarily the custom that if a person commits murder, he is hanged. Yata kantaka vidango jantura nechati tam vidyatam jiva samyam kato lingar natata vida kantaka. I see in their faces one whose body has been pricked by pins can understand the pain of others who are pinpricked. Realizing that this pain is the same for everyone, he does not want others to suffer in this way. One who has never been pricked by pins cannot understand this pain. The difference between gyan, simply theoretical knowledge, and vigyan is a question of experience. And at the same time, actual faith is determined by actual experience, not just by theoretical knowledge. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that apiched asipapebhya sarvebhya papakrita maha sarvam jnana planevaiva rijanam santarishati. Then this world, there's nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. And when it has achieved this knowledge, enjoys itself within a, no, actually, there's nothing in this apiched sudarachara, but no. Apiched asipapebhya, Sarvebhya Bhaktitamaha Sarvam Jnana Planevaiva Rijinam Sundarishase. That a soul who has been, something about being on the boat of knowledge, even if you consider the most sinful of all sinners, when you're situated on the boat of transcendental knowledge, you'll easily be able to pass over the ocean of material miseries. So knowledge is valued. Apichet sudarachana, apichet apipapebhya sarva papakritamaha sarvam jnana planevaiva vrijanam santarishasi. But just theoretical knowledge is not really sufficient. But it's the beginning. Unless there's a foundation, you can't build anything on it. If we're the theoretical, to see things through the eyes of Scripture gives us the opportunity to act according to the Scripture. If we don't see in the same way that the Scripture sees, then there's no possibility of acting in that way. And then Krishna says, Yataidam so samri go samrido ganira bhasmat sakru terajana ganagni sarvakarmani bhasmat sakru te tata. That is, a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, so is the fire of transcendental knowledge burned to ashes all the reactions to our previous activities. So transcendental knowledge will be experienced in proportion to our ability to hear it. It may be there in the sense that the knowledge is there, but unless we hear it and assimilate it, see it as it actually is being expressed, then we can't really experience it. But as much as we can actually see it and understand it and appreciate it, to that extent it's experience. And that experience is, as it says, one of the there's three aspects of the experience to see if we're actually absorbing transcendental knowledge. What are those three things? Bhakti Parishnu Vyaktira Anyatara Trika Eka Kala Prapanamanas Yatashnitasus Tushti Pushti Sudapaya Nugasa. So what is that? What are those three things?
Detachment from material things. Then one is experience of the Lord. And
yes. And that's compared to what?
Eating 100%.
What happens when he eats?
Absence of hunger is there.
Yes.
Then nourishment is there. And satisfaction.
What's that?
Satisfaction,
yeah. So that's how we judge whether or not we're actually hearing. If we're seeing things more in relation to Krishna, if we're actually feeling enthusiastic, we're feeling hopeful at least. And at the same time, we're becoming detached from other conceptions of life. Material conception is ignorance, passion, and even goodness. In ignorance, we're usually depressed and discouraged, and passion or an anxiety about achieving something for our happiness. And goodness, we're more or less not indifferent. We're neutral. And in transcendental, we're encouraged. And we're able to understand how everything fits together perfectly. And things that may draw our minds away from Krishna, we're not attached to them. So that has to be experience, and the first thing is to hear. And then, but hearing should be actively hearing. We should try to understand what we're hearing. We should try to see what we're hearing. Unless we see what we're hearing, then actually we're not really hearing very well. If we say that this is the floor, and you can't see the floor, then it's just a word. But if I say floor, and then you imagine so many different floors, or say I say a bird, and you can see so many different birds, then you understand what bird means. But if I say bird, and you see an elephant, there's some disconnect there. Or you say bird, and you see a car. So we have to see what's actually being said. Otherwise, the word doesn't mean anything. In itself, it only means something when we say it. And it invokes within us a memory of what was trying to be said. Now, even though spiritual words are non-different, still they have to be experienced, they have to be perceived to be experienced. We say Krishna, it is like we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. If we don't see Krishna, then we really are not really chanting Hare Krishna. If we say Mukunda Das, and we don't see, and we see Mukunda Dasi, we're not really seeing. We're not seeing Mukunda as he really is. So simply we say Krishna and we don't see Krishna, there's no experience of Krishna, it's just a word, then obviously we'll think that Krishna and his name are different. But if we say Krishna and we see Krishna's form, then we may have some idea that there's some relation between Krishna and his form, we're connecting it. And if we say Krishna and we see his form, and we experience his presence in the form of transcendental pleasure, then obviously we'll be more convinced that Krishna and his name are not different. Because if we say water, even if we see water, you can't quench our thirst. But if we say Krishna and we perceive Krishna, we remember Krishna's form, or something related to his qualities, or his associates, or his pastimes, and we have a transcendental experience. With our transcendental senses, we experience some pleasure, which leads to an understanding of things more clearly. Our senses become clearer, and it's such a nice experience that other things don't attract us. We rather go back and have that experience again. So that means we're beginning to understand that Krishna and his name are non-different. Otherwise, why are we chanting Hare Krishna? Why don't we chant, you know, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck? If Krishna was different from his name, if we couldn't get transcendental experience from it, what would be the difference between chanting Hare Krishna and chanting Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck? Wouldn't make any difference. But unless we experience Krishna and his name, then how long can we keep on chanting? Of course, Krishna's name is so nice that even if we don't get a very deep experience, we can see that without chanting, we definitely find ourselves in a worse consciousness. Although we may not be rolling on the ground in ecstasy every time we chant Hare Krishna, but at least we can see that there's a difference in mind. Just what we consider our normal consciousness when we're chanting and when we're not chanting. So that means we're getting some experience of the holy name. But it has to become deeper. Just like here it says that unless one has some experience, then he may do something, he may not be very sympathetic to others. Just like I believe Lord Buddha was put in a very kind of like insulated, situation where he never went outside the palace, he never saw anyone who was old, anyone who was diseased, anyone who died. So he was very surprised when he got that experience. Then he realized that the world was a place of pain, and he decided to meditate for the rest of his life. If he would have stayed within the palace, he would have And until he got old himself, or maybe his parents left, then he would have thought everything's all right in the world. So similarly, if we're too insulated, therefore we may think everything's fine out there, out in the material world. we may actually think that the material world might be a nice place to live. Just like if you live in the heavenly planets, then it's very difficult to make spiritual advancement because there's no suffering, apparent suffering. Of course, some of your friends may disappear when their time is up. You think maybe they just went to another part of the demigod kingdom. But if you live in Ljubljana and you go and distribute books or you go and preach or you go on Harinam, especially preaching, because on Harinam you may look at people and you think they're happy until you talk to them. Suddenly you realize that they're just bewildered, probably more than we are. And if you ask them a question, you can see how little they actually know. They usually know where they're from, where they're going, how many children they have, and what kind of work they do. Beyond that, it's all speculation. So one may invent, unless one has experience, one may imagine what's actually going on. As a matter of fact, that's what illusion is meant for, to help us imagine things that aren't actually real. For instance, unless we were imagining that we're this body, then we couldn't act like a body. We wouldn't desire to act like a body. So therefore, we can see how powerful illusion is that we're walking around all day long, imagining that we're this body, which is imagination. And yet it's not real. So we're living in a dream. As a matter of fact, we've been living, most conditioned souls have been living in a dream since time immemorial, which is a very long dream. Maybe varieties of dreams, flying in the sky sometimes, crawling on the earth, sometimes in heaven, sometimes being tortured by the Yamadutas. But after all, the soul is not really doing anything, nor is he entangled. Therefore, one should at least learn to hear by scripture. And then we can avoid the experience. But most people can't learn by the scripture unless they're transcendentalists. To hear about how one is suffering, if you tell people the animals are suffering because they're so dull, they couldn't care less. Only little children, if you tell little children, like for instance McDonald's, the children were getting too disturbed by thinking that they're eating an animal. So what they did is they put hamburgers on trees, and then they had the children pick the hamburgers off the tree, so they think that hamburgers came off trees, so they didn't mind picking them and eating them. But no, that's called even, in other words, modern society, everyone's an illusion, and to encourage them to be in more illusion, they make different arrangements of educational opportunities to fall deeper into illusion. But when children, normally when they think about, when they hear that this was actually once an animal, then they don't want to eat, they become vegetarians, because they're a little sensitive. They haven't been covered over by modern education yet. But one has to, even as aspiring devotees, we have to learn how to see through scripture so that we can avoid having to learn by experience. Learning by experience is better than not learning at all, because then one is simply wasting his time. But the material world is supposed to be a learning experience so that the three things we learn to concentrate our minds upon Krishna. We learn to utilize Krishna, our energies in Krishna's service, and we become detached from the things that draw our mind away from Krishna. So to see that everyone and everything is related to Krishna is not simply supposed to be an intellectual exercise. It's supposed to be an inspiration to serving in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. That to see that how all living entities are suffering in the material world due to lack of Krishna consciousness, and yet everyone and everything is related to Krishna, should be served as an impetus, as an to help others, to become inspired to help others become Krishna conscious. And without helping others become Krishna conscious, if we think everything's all right, that's a very bad sign. Because that means that we're thinking that people are happy in the material world if they assume, obtain a certain amount of material opulence, high education, bodily beauty, certain amount of wealth, certain amount of position. We think that actually they've achieved something glorifiable, desirable. And therefore, we're not detached. We're attached to these ideas. And these ideas will prevent us from actually helping them and helping ourselves. I was hearing Rupanuga Prus, my first temple president. He was talking about Prabhupada, and he was talking about how at one time they were forming In God We Trust Party. So In God We Trust Party was a political party by the Hare Krishna movement in America. They were trying to not so much gain office, although they were hopeful to do it, but they were hoping to at least use it as an avenue for preaching. That's what Prabhupada thought. Of course, it's illegal in America, so they realized that they had to stop it too. A religious organization to run for office, political office. In any case, they're reading some book by some conservative authors. One of them is called, I forget who the author is, None Dare Call a Conspiracy. John Birch Society. And there he talks about how the world is ruled by Rakshasas, who are manipulating everything. So they asked Srila Prabhupada, is this true? And he said, yes. And I think that certain Rakshasas were named, which I don't know, because Rupanugapuru didn't say. But then he said, and then Rupanugapuru asked Srila Prabhupada, what should we do? So Prabhupada said, preach to them. So Rupanugapuru wasn't very much encouraged to preach to them. That he would have an opportunity to convert any of these Rakshasas. So then Prabhupada said, that's all right. You know, in any case, the people have the power. In other words, if we see things properly, then Krishna will give us the intelligence what to do to actually make a difference. At least in our own lives. If we can't influence anyone else, at least we should influence ourselves. But we can't do that unless we see things properly. Unless we see things from eternity, then it's not proper. Unless we're convinced that we're not this body, not based on sentiment, but the very fact that we're existing. We don't believe in our own existence. There's not much else we can do. Not much else you can tell someone who doesn't really believe that they exist. What can you preach to them? You can talk about so many things. Of course, to sell people books, you may talk about so many things, but ultimately when we're serious about telling people about reality, if they can't understand their own existence, the fact that they're eternally existent, then it's just a waste of time telling them anything else. Maybe to convince them that they should wash their hands and something become clean or some moral principles may be a little helpful. But then again, we see in the world that people who are, even in the mode of goodness, they won't accept that they're not the body. They have a better chance, but sometimes they are not sufficiently good or want to become sufficiently good to understand even the basic reality that they're eternal. Without which all the other perspectives are wrong. Without that, it's very hard to understand that the Supreme Eternal. If we're not eternal, why are we going to accept there's a supreme eternal? We don't even accept our own existence. How we accept the existence of the supreme? Therefore, we'll think there's no God in control. The whole world is unreal. we're unreal, so the world must be unreal. Everything's unreal. There's no God in control. Asatyam apratishtam te jagarahur ishvaram. They said that the world's unreal, has no foundation, no God in control. This produces sex desire and has no cause other than lust. So that one will simply live like an animal. Unless one lives on tries to live spiritually, one is forced by the material nature to live like an animal. Because we're not trying to criticize animals or criticize people who are living like animals, in the sense that everyone is just forced to eat, sleep, mate, and defend because there's nothing else to do in the world. Unless we're trying to work on the spiritual platform, we must work on the material one. Because if one is progressing materially by following the instructions of the Vedas and acting according to one's dharma and varna and ashram, but that's also transcendental. That's also coming from Krishna. That's also service to Krishna. Because the aim of vanashram is yagya vai Vishnu, it's a sacrifice for Vishnu. Not just to be a vegetarian or to learn karate, whatever. That's not Brahman, that's not Kshatriya. It's a sacrifice for Vishnu. Arjuna was asked to fight, not because he was to see who would win the battle. Krishna had made a bet who was going to win. So therefore he wanted Arjuna to fight so he could win the bet. No, it was a sacrifice because Krishna wanted it for the benefit of the people involved, all living entities, to help them become Krishna conscious. So the purport is that we have to learn how to see things either by experience or by hearing. The best way is by hearing, because most things we don't want to learn by experience. Hopefully, as it says, that aho bata swapato to garyan livigre varta de namatubhyam kapusta paste duva shashna arya brahmanuchoran namagrinati ete. How wonderful is that one who's chanting the holy name, aho bata swapato to garyan, that they've already surpassed so many different parts of the Vedic literature. Aho bata swapato to garyan. Even if they're a dog eater. Aho bata swapato to garyan. Yajivagre vartate nama. One who's chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. They're already surpassed the sacrifices, the austerities, bathing in the sacred river. So we don't have to do all that. We should become convinced by our experience that simply by chanting, we've done everything there is. We don't really have to add anything else to it. It already has enough salt on it. You don't have to add more. And therefore, with that perspective, we don't have to wonder what this would be like, what that be like. Going to Harinam and looking in the store, this same pizza, I wonder if this pizza is better than the one they make in the temple. We don't have to speculate so much. We can just become convinced that we have the best opportunity. We don't need anything else. We're actually there to give, not to take from people. Therefore, even when we're asking for donations, and we don't think, well, with this money we can get so many things. No, we understand it's by for their benefit that we're accepting these things, and therefore, if we have enough experience in Krishna consciousness, then we won't need other experience. Everything is included within Krishna consciousness. The essential things, the best things are included in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, people have, without Krishna consciousness, some or another, they're inexperienced, and they're going to cause in some way or another harm to themselves and to others. Even when trying to so-called do good, no one in the material world is ultimately really trying to do good to anyone else if they're not trying to do good to themselves by becoming Krishna conscious. They must be trying to, some way, subtly or grossly, try to exploit each other and the material energy. Because it's not possible to live without Krishna and not try to exploit others. If we don't have Krishna as our leader, and Krishna's representatives are a leader, we're going to have to find others to be our leaders. And anyone else other than Krishna and his representatives are ultimately not very good leaders. They'll simply, they're entangled. They're blind and are leading their other followers who are blind into a disaster. So that's the most important thing we should be consider by experience, who should actually be our leader and who shouldn't be our leaders. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? So Mukunda, what did you understand from this lecture?
It's about, you were speaking about Krishna, in Krishna consciousness, that there is, if we do, the purpose of Krishna consciousness is like all, whatever we do is a yagya for Vishnu or yagya for Krishna. So that whatever we do, if that's the, it's not the purpose that we do something, like whatever, or karate or something, but it's the purpose that we do that as a sacrifice to Krishna, so that Krishna is pleased.
Good. Okay. Vraja Sundari Radha.
Hare Krishna. I heard a lot of things that Mukunda said. But a very important thing is that knowledge, theoretical knowledge is not everything. That we have to learn through hearing and experiences.
Good. Okay. Ananta, someone take the microphone. Give us the Siddhanta.
So the shloka was about you cannot understand the pain if you don't experience the pain. That was about Nalakoherent. That was the medicine of Nalakoherent Maligriya, right? That the one gift. So you elaborate on this point, the difference between Jnana and Vijnana. That the difference between theory is, I mean, between jnana and jnana, that one is theory and one you experience, and faith is based on that, how much you experience it. Then give this example of 11th canto, three levels of experience, detachment, nourishment, satisfaction. Then you spoke about hearing actively. And it's important that we see what we hear, right? You mentioned, you gave example of the, seeing the flower, seeing the bird, and then you elaborate and how to see Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna. And then Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck is not enough. It's not the same. You also then spoke about example of Buddha, how he was isolated, but that doesn't work.
Isolated.
And of course then you elaborate also how to, that if you learn by scripture, if you see by scripture, then you can avoid to go to experience in this with your life. You don't need to suffer if you, Shastra say, you know, if you do this you will suffer, so don't do it. do proper things. And in the end you qualify the process of chanting at Hobata. So how glorious are those who chant the holy names. Even if you're born as a dog eaters, then they must be doing something previous life, it looks like. But probably the mercy of Srila Prabhupada make it as qualified. We were not qualified from previous life, but the most important. We are here somehow. Hare Krishna.
Okay, thank you. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.